Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. It is us. It is Law Crimes. Oh, what's that, Eli? What's that in your hand? Oh, you're muted. You're muted, Bobby.
A doom scythe for the better.
Very nice. How are you all? All good? All good?
I'm good.
Doing but, well.
I have moved out of my house, chat. Mm-hmm. That's why there's like nothing behind me, really. So that's cool.
Hopefully in the next 2-ish months, I will be joining.
Yeah. You're going to move in with Eli?
Like we said, you know.
Marriage arc is happening.
I say all respect to your wife, but I need that insulin. So she's going to need to make room.
Also, no Hal this week. Sorry.
Yeah, I know.
But
he's dead.
But,
or are you going to make fun of him?
Me, I guess, because I'm the other Commonwealth fella. Today, we are talking about a Space Marine chapter, because we haven't covered a Space Marine chapter in a while. And today, you lucky viewers, we are talking about everyone's favorite custard Marines. We're talking about the Imperial Fists. Yay. I'm afraid we didn't contact Valorak to be this episode because of his atrocious accent. The Imperial Fists are absolutely my favorite. That would be insufferable. So I'm going to tell this one.
Craziest place to start.
Valorak hate stream. Wow.
Northern slander. So we're going to go through basically everything from Great Crusade to modern era. But fair warning, everyone, Imperial Fists are a bit of a weird chapter. They have a lot of cool stuff as a legion, but as
that
a
means
chapter,
they're boring.
Well, this is the big hurdle with Imperial Fists. Everyone sees them as kind of like the most milquetoast of all the chapters, because while they have a specialty of we are good at building and fortifying, that's a static position of like fighting. So they're not usually well applied in the lore in terms of like, oh, well, we've done Siege of Terror. That's a big defensive campaign. Anything else? And that's why they have the problem of their successor chapters get more limelight, because they're off crusading rather than standing still. And also Imperial Saint, it is true that in the old retconned lore, they ate poop. That is not a joke. There was a fermentation thing when they were very brand new as a faction. And I think even Adeptus Ridiculus had like a thing where there was like Rogel Dorn's head in the skibbity toilet as a reference to that bit of lore.
A poo eater chapter.
The plop eaters.
I saw someone else. It's like, it was like another meme. It's like, that's old lore. It's like, people don't forget. Jonah Hill movie or something.
I don't care how many bones you scrimshaw. I'm not forgetting the poop. Anyway.
Fortify the entire Siege of Terror. Nobody bats an eye. Eat one piece of poop. All of a sudden, we're the poop eater chapter.
All of a sudden, they are the fiber Marines fortifying their stools.
You build 10,000 bridges. No one calls you a bridge builder. You diddle one code.
But to kick us off, before we kick off, actually, so I assume you guys are just kind of like, they're okay. You're not like massively into Imperial Fists. I don't like, again, the only one I can think of who's mega into them is like Quipster Nerd and Valorak. Okay. And also I know Peachy likes them, but that's just because they're Northern.
Look, I don't like love them. I don't feel that passion, but I like them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I occasionally see like the classic picture of the Imperial Fist shooting and there's like Imperial Guard guys in the background. Mm. And I think that guy looks kind of cool.
Mm.
And then I stop thinking about them.
There's that one Iron Cage piece where it's the guy on side profile with the flag behind him. You're like, that's one of the best art pieces for Warhammer ever. But Iron Cage was a long time ago. But also, even longer.
Hard to get over that Iron Cage bit, not going to lie.
I can't hate them because they're yellow and my Eldar and Iandan, who are also mostly yellow. So if nothing else,
we like Leno.
Respect to the Lemon Bros.
I thankfully never made the horrible decision to put myself through painting a yellow army. So
it's not even that bad.
No, it's not. All right.
No, white is hell. White is the real pain. Andy, you're going to be in agony if you ever paint up a White Scars army.
Or my mentors, because there's a lot of white there too.
I do have an IRL friend who likes the fists. It's his army, so there's someone out there.
There's two of them. But yes, so let's begin at the start. As all Space Marine Legions start, we're going to go all the way back to the Unification Wars. Now, during the Unification Wars, typically a Space Marine Legion would be drafted from a specific place. But interestingly, there's only a couple, one of them being the Imperial Fists, that they actually recruited from a wide variety of populations. For them, it was more about variety. It was more about if you can pass the test of building a certain height of sandcastle, you're in. We don't discriminate. We don't care like what's going on. We're just like, yeah, if you're a proper brother, you're a proper brother. You can come into the Legion. Something which would carry over to when they were a chapter as well. They were very well regarded. They were one of the most active legions during Unification. They won battles such as the Cities of the Crystal Sea and the Fortress of the Fifth Circle, which that's all we know about those battles. They were a battle that happened.
Splendid.
Let's be honest. A lot of these battles from Unification, it's just like, there was the battle of the cool naming sound words. What happened? The Emperor won.
Something.
Everything else? That isn't, what is it, Mount Ararat or whatever, is just kind of that. And even that is still just, and then they killed all the Thunder Warriors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rip all fellas. But either way, they were very well regarded, and they were also fortunate that their Primarch, Rogal Dorn, was one of the, he wasn't among the like very first, but he was like the eighth to be found. You take away the censored Primarch that was like the second or whatever, or third, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
He's like first third of all Primarchs to be found, and uniquely, he's the only one to be found who is in charge of their own interstellar empire. Now, it's kind of a bit of a shame that he was just before Gilliman was found, and then he just kind of dropped his empire on the table and went, look at that, mine's bigger than yours. Which, you know, who's got a bigger empire than Gilliman? The Emperor, that's about it. But to be fair to Rogal...
Greatest of us all.
Well, to be fair to Rogal, he also had the advantage of not just having an interstellar empire in his own system, but he also conveniently found this gigantic spaceship in orbit of his home planet called the Phalanx. And the Phalanx is enormous. Like, you know that map of all the spaceships in sci-fi, where it's like everything from Halo, Mass Effect, Star Wars, Star Trek, blah, blah, blah. There's some big ones. Like the Gloriana-class ship from 40K is on that massive thing, and it's one of the biggest. Phalanx isn't on that scale, which is a shame, because it would probably dwarf half the bloody page. It's enormous. It's a dark age of technology, mobile, like, continent, essentially. The only thing that rivals it in modern 40K is the rock, and that's because it's made of bits of a broken planet.
Because it was a planet. It was a continent.
Yeah, and it's, like, held together with, like, duct tape Jawas. And duct tape and Jawas. And, and that the is, Emperor. Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry. Is there any lore where it's every now and again, like, just a bit just falls off and like, well, I guess we didn't need that chamber anymore.
To be fair, in modern 40K, it was getting a bit weary. Like, there was points where the chapter's like, we've been through a lot of war. There's lots of broken bits. Loads of weapons don't have enough ammunition to fire anymore. Then the custodians opened one of their like secret vaults and they let something out. And they spruced up the Phalanx real good. And everyone's like, how did you do that? And the custodians are like, don't ask questions. You don't need to know.
They released Bob the Builder on the rock.
But like the meat canyon Bob the Builder, who's just like, put him back in the cage. So that was a big win for the Imperial Fist, because when the Emperor got to Inwit, he's like, this is impressive that he's already sorted out his shit. Unlike some Primarchs who are like, I'm still fighting in a gladiatorial arena, loser. What do you want about? Look at Rogal. He's flown the nest.
Be nice.
He's got a respectable job. He hasn't got any debt. He's got a good credit rating. What's wrong with you, Angron and Kurz and others?
Angron is simultaneously the most underrated and overrated Primarch. It's almost that's impressive. Pretty
real. That's pretty real. Pretty World of War is one of the least schizos, I guess. Mm.
Yeah.
He's still a schizo, though.
All of them are.
Yeah.
They all have anger issues.
You want to put on my glove?
Yeah, well, we'll get into that.
You win 1,000 planets. No one bats an eye. You put the pain glove on once.
You put the pain and you eat a handful of poop in the pain glove, and all of a sudden, that's the guy. You're that guy. Crazy. But yeah, so the Emperor got to Inwit, and he's like, he's already got an interstellar empire. It's only a few worlds, but it's like, that's better than most. And he's found this gigantic Dark Age of Technology fortress in the sky. He's moved in without the help of the Mechanicus and just somehow got it working. How did you do that, Rogel? And he's just like, oh no, I just kind of played around with it. He's like, that's, and he's, you're the best boy. Like, of all the Primarchs, Rogel Dorn was definitely like top five, top three, maybe. Like, the Emperor, it's Gilliman, it's Dorn, and it's probably Sanguinius, I would say. Yes, Vulcan had the ability to create really cool stuff. Yes, Korax had a weird connection to, like, he was the only one entrusted with the knowledge of chaos before the Horus Heresy. Like, some of them had little bits here, but he was like, if I'm going on a compliance during the Great Crusade, I'm bringing Dorn and the Imperial Fists, or I'm bringing Gilliman, because Gilliman's got this gigantic army and an empire, and he's also really good at like maths. But Dorn, he's not going to ask like questions. He's going to do what I want him to do. He's extremely efficient, and he doesn't mince words. He's very, the whole thing about Imperial Fists is they're stoic and they're quiet, to the point where during the Great Crusade, Nathaniel Garrow of the Death Guard remarked to Eacton Cruz of the Lunar Wolves that he fought alongside a particular veteran of the Imperial Fists for an entire year of combat, never saw him smile once. And so his men nicknamed the Imperial Fists the Stone Men, because they were that dull, dour, nod, very few words, never smile, take everything seriously, never have a day off, insufferable to a lot of people. But they were also extremely, extremely good at combat, very efficient. Again, before we chatted on stream, Eli made an interesting point about how they're kind of anathema to what a space marine is in theory, because space marines are these elite shock troopers who are supposed to get in, do some damage and get out, at least in the current setting. And they're much better suited to the Great Crusade Horus Heresy era than they are the 41st millennium, because you've got 1,000 men by that point.
Not fortifying very much with 1,000 freaking dudes.
Well, 100,000, you'll get a lot more done. 1,000? And that
doesn't work.
And it's pre-chaos, where everything's falling to ruin.
They have chapter auxiliaries and serfs.
They have, but who doesn't? Everyone's got indentured labor for the Imperium.
That's how you get around the answer. How do they man them with all the other goobers wandering around the chapter?
There's just a lot of men with cranes and one Imperial Fist going, that over there, that there, you quicker. Stop that, put that it's there.
Called delegation, sir?
Delegation. Rogel Delegation is his name. And yeah, so to be fair, they're also one of the largest legions during the Great Crusade. Before the outbreak of the Horus Heresy, they had approximately, I think it was 93,000 men. So we're not talking Ultramarines over 100K, but we're not talking Raven Guard in like the low, I think it's the low 70s, maybe even 60s. Like, they're quite a substantial legion.
Or the Thousand Sons at one point. Or the Emperor's children.
Too soon.
Yeah.
Too soon.
A lot of legions seem to have been some of the biggest legions in the Great Crusade.
Well,
yeah, some of. It's always gonna be the top five and the bottom five.
And to be fair to the Fists, they were basically the only fleet-based legion, not even chapter, like fleet-based legion, because they had this gigantic fortress, and at the peak of their strength, they had 150,000 ships. They had the biggest fleet. Like, even the Ultramarines didn't have a fleet as big as the Imperial Fists, at least were like Astartes vessels and stuff. So they were the undisputed masters of naval warfare. They were just like,
okay, they're cool now.
They're cool. They got boats, ships. They got.
I love space the
boats.
Navy. I love the navy.
The navy.
I like you space. Like
planes. Planes and boats.
Give me a fun hat. I want a big pointy hat. not one of those big pointy hats. You know, a naval hat. Calm down, chat. And yeah, so as a somewhat fleet based legion, they roamed all over the stars. And they brought compliance. Their whole modus operandi was, we're not going to just destroy all the people who don't want to be a part of the Imperium, because we kind of want them to be useful after we're done with them. So they weren't like dragging their heels like the word bearers, but they weren't uber efficient, like, for example, the Sons of Horus or even the Ultramarines. It was like, we want to make sure that we are here long enough to stabilize the civilization, but we're also no slouches when it comes to taking over planets. And when you have the largest fleet in the Legiones Astartes, that's quite achievable. Hmm. So before the Horus Heresy even begins, they've got about 94,000, 93,000 men, 150,000 ships. Every one of their armies had siege masters, fleet masters, and field marshals to kind of break down their forces into manageable chunks. And for a long time, they also had an elite bunch of bodyguards for Rogal Dorne known as the Huskarls. They were very much into traditions of passing down like honor names. Like, for example, Archimus is basically for a long time the most trusted champion of Rogal Dorne. He's there, like, he's part of like the first, I think it's 70 Terran, Inwit aspirants of the Legion. So he's like, he was born on Inwit. And then he was part of a gang, and then he was made into like one of the most robust commanders of the Legion. And for a while, the Huskarls have been gone since the Heresy, but then I think Gilliman brought them back recently because he's like, they were cool. Remember that blast from the past? I'm bringing it back, baby. And then they're going, wow, you're not my Primarch. Like, yeah, but is it a bad idea? And they're like, no. So they do that. However, with the beginning of the Horus Heresy, things take a bit of a turn for the worse, not just for everyone, but especially for the Imperial Fists. Yeah. One thing I think a lot of people don't realize is Istvan V, it wasn't just seven legions that were sent. It wasn't just the Iron Hands, Raven Guard, Salamanders, and then it was the Alpha Legion, Iron Warriors, Word Bearers, and Night Lords. The Imperial Fists were also supposed to join the Iron Hands and stuff to do the counterattack. Mm-hmm. However, Dorne sent about a third of his legion, about 561 ships. Warp storms are a thing. They got stranded near a place called the Foul System. And of those 560 ships, they lost about 360.
Jeez.
So they're not doing good.
They got unyielding Hierophanted.
Mm-hmm. It's like I remember playing Rogue Trader, and there's that option was like, go to the Imperium, and I didn't know what that meant, and I was like, okay. And there's just like, you have lost 80% of your crew. Whoops. Oh well. So that was my playthrough. Scuppy.
Ah, those are lower deck disposable crew. Who cares?
They weren't named characters.
I think it'd be named characters, and I still don't care. I blew Adira's head off last game I played. Shouldn't have been an unsafe psyker, bozo. The one head pop too many.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, so the Battle of Fal, they did survive. Alexis Pollux took up command. He was the captain. I think he was the 405th captain.
He's got a fist.
Yeah, 405th. He's got a fist.
He's the Imperial fist.
And to be fair, this is practically like the only battle the Imperial Fists are part of outside of the final battles of the Horus Heresy. This is like the one battle they're in. And to be fair, Pollux bests, at least tactically, Perturabo in battle. Like,
feels bad.
Perturabo's got the initiative. He's got the bigger forces. Pollux trounces him for what he has. And Dorne not winning against the allegations that he's a crybaby. He's like, I'm better than Dorne. I'm better than Dorne. Like, I'm just a space marine.
They also steep on the Alpha Legion. Maybe the Imperial Fists have just a lot of plot armor.
I mean, well, just
Oh no, the Legion all about deception lost in a straight up fight. Who could have seen this one coming?
Not a single deception thing actually worked, and every Imperial Fist just magically saw through every single trick.
Well, they're very inconsistent.
They're too stupid to trick. They're too simple. One does not trick the brick wall.
I cast brick. And now at the end of the fall campaign, they have 300 less companies. They lost 300 companies in that one battle. That's a lot. So they get back to Holy Terror, and Dorne's like, "What the fuck? What? Huh?" It's like, "Sorry, we basically just like decimated like a third of your entire strength in like one campaign." Whoops. Yeah. So they're doing better than the Salamanders, Iron Hands, and the Raven Guard, but not by much. And again, all like...
I'm looking at the wrong stream. That's why I heard words, and yet your mouth was not moving. I was like, I'm confused. Did he stop? Am I still going? Sorry.
That's okay.
The fists are easy to keep them going and like kind of keep them safe because like them being alive doesn't remove plot.
Yeah.
Whereas like the Alpha Legion in this instance, right? What happens if the Alpha Legion character, you know, he gets the dub here? Mm. Well, we blew up Terra. Like, well yeah. We kind of can't have him do that. Yeah. Mission accomplished. We kind of need a 40K to still happen. Yeah. So I'm afraid you're destined to fail, sir.
Yeah.
They could write it better. I'm not going to argue that.
And I guess it's a rock and hard place for the Imperial Fist because they're generally like always stationed around Terra-ish. But at least with this particular loss, then they kind of go, for the rest of the Horus Heresy, yes, they do occasionally go out to like, for example, they attempt to get the heretics out of Mars. Doesn't go well. Even Sigismund and Fafnir ran to them like, oh, it's not working. Oh, no. There's so many heretics on Mars.
The whole world of the Mechanicum is not a recipe for success.
So their solution is we're just going to cordon it off for about 7 years because we cannot get these guys out of there. So we're just going to like stop anything from getting in or out. Whatever they're doing on the if they're contained on Mars, it's better than being out there doing whatever weird stuff they're going to be doing.
Probably, so too, it'd look like a two-way Terminator, but like the robot. It's like they land on the planet, and it's especially early, like Dark Mechanicum, so they haven't gone all chaos Gribbly Blitz yet. It's like, I don't even know who's on my side, man. Seriously. They're all wearing red.
And to be fair, I can't remember his name, but the guy who's like the... He's rescued from Mars, and he's like their equivalent of Archmagos.
I need to reread Mechanicum. That's a good book.
But it's like he has a bit of a go at Rogal Dorne. He's just like, hey, you prick. We need to like go. There are good people dying on Mars. Why are you giving up so easily? And Dorne's like, this is just a battle. We have to win the war. Like, there are more important things than Mars, and Terra is more important than Mars. So I will let as many people die if it means that we don't lose the throne world. It's like, ooh, okay. Definitely correct, but also like harsh.
Also fucking look at the place. I'm not stepping foot down there. You know, I just saw someone weaponize melanoma. No, thank you.
I just sent Sigismund down there and he wasn't able to do shit. So I'm not wasting any more time on this. That's Sigismund. He's like the most powerful space marine ever. And he couldn't crack it.
Second only to Marnius Kelga.
Although, before we keep going, we have got a bunch of donations. So, shall we crack on with those?
Yeah, let me take over some of these bad boys.
Okie dokie. Oh,
hey, there's me. Shalaxis, what is Gripper? I will sadly miss this sturdy stream. I must go get a doggy. Oh, shit. I hope it's a cute doggy. XOXO Collins Colon is dry AF. Seriously, give me an enema or I may die of thirst up here. Man, I was that was a nice really cute little nice message to... going to get a dog. Yeah. And then the second half of it, Mr. President, the second half of the comment has struck.
Thank you for the $5.
Yeah, thank you. Donkey Man, you were saving another five. Thank you. Extreme late due to how gooning with Dorne's severed head. And
that's why he's been off that's trying like... to find where it is.
Card shark. thank you for the 10 CA. Will Pega Neko fuck return? Or is this mysterious next VTuber a new lore criminal entry? Have we promised a new VTuber and I didn't know of this?
Not sure.
I don't think we did. I think you may just be tripping, Doc.
I'm sure Pega will come back one of these days.
Yeah, I think probably. We're always happy for people to return if they want to come back.
And we need to do some paintings.
All right, happy news, everyone. The video I'm rendering did not crash out of the same frame. Yay. I don't need to end my life on stream.
Praise the Omnissiah.
Set with a 499. Can't believe Rogaldorn said it was fisting time and fisted all over the Imperial Palace. You give that man his credit. He fisted all over Terra.
Mm-hmm. He fisted everyone, even Fulgrim.
The entire solar system. Oh my gosh.
Marathi's designated toilet. Stream late due to Hal sucking Dorne's toe cheese clean. Hey, some of you, I want you to, now before we move on, some of you, I want you all to do me a favor. I want you to, before you send that donation message or any comment really, I want you to text a family member that message. You know, so that's a very normal thing for you to say. I'm sure they'd love to hear you say it.
Yep.
Anyways, Colin wore a somewhat green last week
with the 10 euro.
Amazing.
Sorry, Miss Last Stream was drunk at a party, so while the number of shopping carts eaten on top of my front yard trees wasn't zero, I would love to be at your parties.
Yeah.
That was indeed a green hat last week. You're free, Colin. Green hat out. I picture you saying that like Carter at the end of Reach.
Yeah, and just think, we'll not hear anything for a few weeks. Then it will be Colin will wear a pink hat in 5 weeks. Oh no!
I've actually got one of those again. Closer to hand. I mean, it's not all pink, but
nice.
Needs to get Hal to wear something funny. That's my vote.
Donkey Man.
He did dress up as Jack.
He
Sparrow
did do once, that. So that was commitment to the bit. Thank you to my Halloween costume for just not arriving. Period.
very
cool, Etsy. Donkey Man USA with the fiver again. I have also finally moved out. Hell yeah.
Nice.
I now have time to paint my rat Omnissiah and work on the Hal super. Nice. I have to be honest. Also, when I first saw that Donkey Man's profile picture, I thought it was just Sarah Palmer. Like because it was zoomed out. I thought it was just an edited picture of, you know, default. It's Halo 4 Sarah Palmer. Donkey did not click for like a year.
Crazy.
Nice.
Zach Spamalama. That's a fun name. With the fiver. Longtime listener. First time joining the live. Welcome. Awesome. Imperial Fist, my favorite legion. Hey. Please tell Dornya. Hell yeah, man.
Thank you very much.
Nice.
Thanks for joining.
Big one here.
Pancreas is Silliest Clown with the 20.
Thank you.
Wow.
Colin, can you please explain why you've betrayed your ideals as Bretonnia hater by tweeting, and I quote, slurping the butter juice off of King Haralaus's mighty Swadian lance. Wow. I'm aware it's from Mountain Blade. Well, you see, that's because the proud kingdom of Swadia is simply better than Bretonnia. Another 5 million Swadian knights charging down poor Rodauk peasants. Rooney with Chudy with the Niner.
Oh, thank you.
$9.99.
Thank you.
I'm back from the dead. So once that SAO tier list, I hate you. I've been dead for like months. I need it. I also want a 5-page essay from the pancreasless one on why Kirito can kill Karn. I mean, is Karn in the video game? Then sure, there you go. If not, Kirito's an anemic twink because he was locked in a video game for like years.
Welcome
question.
Back.
What is a Kirito?
It's the main goober from Sword Art Online.
Oh,
Colin's favorite enemy.
Die.
Amazing.
James with the £5. How did you guys meet? Enjoying your content and happy birthday, Colin.
Thank you.
Andy's networking skills are boundless.
I did a Nick Fury and I just go, I'm assembling a team. And that's kind of what we did.
Andy messaged us on Discord.
Mm-hmm. One way to put it. Less flashy than Nick Fury with the trench coat.
I like the Nick Fury. It was the start of his ascension to becoming the chaos god of networking.
Truly.
Tom Warren with the 5. The Imperial Fists don't get the respect they deserve because not enough people respect the noble art of turtling. So real. I will play Age of Empires and you will have to break through 5 million walls.
I do love turrets. I love turret maxing.
I love turrets. I love defensive fort towers. I love 50 layer deep walls and gates. Glass laughter with a 5. I think the Black Templars kind of made the Imperial Fist irrelevant or overshadow them so much. I don't like to think about it.
They have probably have more books than the Imperial Fist, I'm pretty sure.
Not all Black Templars fans, but it's always a Black Templars fan.
It is always a Black Templars fan.
Chaotic New. Oh,
thank you.
Hello.
New Zealand 5. Thank you. And not going to lie, I do enjoy the Fisters. Rogel activates my old man enjoyer senses, and his sons do too. Also, everyone looks so handsome this morning.
Oh, thank you very much.
Well, thank you. I am afraid that you are in the wrong time zone, and it's 3:36 in the afternoon right now. But that's okay. It's still appreciated.
It's morning for Colin.
Thank you.
Conrad's number one stand with the 5. I mean, this is an easy one, I think. Who do you think is the better aura farming model, Logan Grimnar or the new Raven Guard guy? Also, I am so sorry for your new Combat Patrol Iron Hands. Those Combat Patrols really came out, and a stream that could have been like a 9 out of 10 hit us with that at the end.
Yeah. DW really like, we can't shift these turret models for anything. Just put 2 in the box. Why not?
Yeah. I'll even sure wins the...
Logan Grimnar wins the aura off for me.
Nah, I'm giving it to the... I don't even remember his name, so that's probably not
a Logan Grimnar's new model is like a whole new style of model that they made.
It's sick, but I like the Spider-Man pose off the rock.
It is really cool.
I just think it would be amusing if you were like if you were being attacked by him and you felt the tassel on your head and you're like, what the fuck? And then that's when he hits you.
Look, if you have that guy in a match and you don't play the theme at least when you know, you are wasting the purchase. Kabanda's Mighty Schlong of Cygnus, $2. Bold choice wasting a stream on Imperial Fists. You should not ask why does this army exist. You should be grateful that there is so much lore that there is lore you can find boring. Someone has to be the normal dude, so shut up. Colin wore a somewhat green hat last week. Lamenter best yellow dudes, unlucky but not a brick. Thank you for the 2 euros.
Pretty real.
He flew pretty good.
Marines Malevolent are actually the best yellow dudes.
There we go.
Interesting.
We need to do an episode on them one of these days.
It'd be like 30 minutes and it's just them being assholes.
Scars Nick is almost achieved full Scars Nick in the PFP.
Thanos, aka Skarsnik's top guy with the 20 and okay, is Dorn circumcised though? I will leave that to your discretion, viewer.
I don't know. Is it fortified?
Ooh. I would think that would be anathema to Dorn. It's like structural integrity is damaged. This is not optimal. Like, poor fella.
I think it's the opposite. It's like the Metal Gear, you know. I'll admit that your foreskin is nice, but it serves no tactical advantage whatsoever.
The engravings are no tactical advantage at all.
I'm like 90% sure that the Primarchs don't even have PNRs. So,
pee?
Well,
I don't think biology. I don't think they need to get rid of
Fulgrim. Fulgrim had lots of wives.
Doesn't mean that he did it, though.
We'll ask them if we can find
them. If anyone had one, I'd give it to Logan Grimnar. Lehman Russ. Logan Grimnar is basically the freaking Primarch.
We know that also Lucas the Trickster is a filthy, cheeky chap who has had many children, apparently.
Part of the Space Wolf gene seed is they get to keep their penis.
They keep their nuts.
Oh, dear.
Oh, Benadryl. Every time that comes up, makes me laugh. Benadryl with the 5. Shout out to Fafnir Ron, Rogaldorn's second most violent son. GW, bring back the Breachers.
Yes.
GW, bring back a lot of things.
Yeah, also true.
$10 from Nick Knack 3587. Thank you. Love or hate you. love or hate, you respect the Fists. Not flashy or even interesting, but they're consistent, reliable, and aware they're just tools to be used. Glad to hear you boys talk about the Yellow Brick Horde. Thank you.
Thank you.
Follow the Yellow Brick Horde.
Ian Hines with the Fiverr. To be fair to Eli, the near death of the Emperor and the ransacking of Terra absolutely taints every win they have. Even if the Ultramarines are the best.
Wow. Wow.
Just saying, if they were blueberries instead of yellow boys on the walls,
Horus won't break it through. Said Eli.
Still closed.
Angry homunculus with 5 pounds. You guys think the Imperial Fists were given northern accents because of Valrak, or is Valrak northern because he likes Imperial Fists?
Fun fact, Valrak's from Kent. He doesn't sound like that at all. He just puts it on. he's just cosplaying an Orvna. He's not even... No, no, he is.
I hope that joke means something to some of you, because I'm afraid it does not help me with anything.
Whoosh, said Colin.
Yeah. Colin wore a green hat last week. Boy, your messages are the highs and the lows this week. €2, thank you. Got 23rd rejection. At least you guys are still there.
Jeez.
Wow.
Wow.
Hey, there's always another fish.
Mm-hmm. There's always a bigger fish, too, said Qui-Gon Jinn.
The Dank Apostle with the 35 star. Pity Hal's not here. Hey, Andy. 4 Rugby World Trophy wins, doo-da-doo-da, and we'll make it 5 in 2027.
I don't care about rugby. Well, I don't mind rugby. I always support the team that's currently winning, and then when they start losing, I'm like, I support New Zealand actually. And so that's what I do when I watch rugby.
Crazy.
This is a great name.
I received a ping. Draken Schlong. That's we're getting the fucking Avengers of Schlong names. 5 bucks. Colin, you started this off on the wrong foot forward. I have 1 L on my name. Colin, I'm still waiting to see if you want to trade pancreases. You get cured of diabetes, and I don't have tumors anymore. Win-win situation.
Wow.
Jeez.
My word.
Trade one villain for another. Colin wore a somewhat green hat last week. I'm personally going to end Hal for saying Malevolent are best yellow dudes. That was Eli.
Yeah, we can blame it on Hal. That's fine.
You say it with your chest. From afar, of course. Of course, you turned me to a pulp. Happy birthday, Colin. Well, you got the name right.
Happy birthday.
The Dank Apostle, 14 Czar. This is still my favorite podcast. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm glad. Thank you very much favorite for watching.
That was a large amount.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys. Cool. You are personally making lore crime survive. So we appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get back into the Imperial Fist then. So they also have a bit of a every one of the legions, so the Blood Angels, White Scars, and Imperial Fists have like bragging rights forever because they were on Terra when it was falling to ruin. So those 3 chapters in particular, or legion/chapters, have bragging rights because they're just like, oh, where were you, Ultramarines? Where were you, Dark Angels, when we needed you? And then the Dark Angels fans will be like, we had Corswain there. It's like, that doesn't count. Where was like the bulkier forces? And so, but of the 3, the Imperial Fists are the proudest of the fact that they were here when they were first founded, and in its moments of direst need, they were here when they needed to be. Pretty much most of all of the battles that were going on in the Sol system were at the discretion of the Imperial Fists, because they've been there for 7 years preparing. The Sol system, they broke up into 5 concentric rings of defenses, and they knew they weren't going to stop the invasion of the traitors. They were just like, we need to buy as much time until the Ultramarines get here. And the Dark Angels, but no one cares that the Dark Angels, we want the boys in blue to rescue us. They said, help me, Robute Gilliman, you're my only hope, said the Imperial Fists and everyone else on Terra. So much so that to this day, they also have monuments that were created in honor of all the Imperial Fists that died on Terra, and they lost a lot. Like, they had of the free legions, like the White Scars had been just, they were caught in the heresy, tried to uncover what was going on. They made all haste to get back to Terra, and they lost a lot of men on the way. Blood Angels did the whole triumvirate with the Ultramarines and Dark Angels, and they just managed to get through the Ruin Storm to get to Holy Terra in time. Space Wolves could have helped, but they thought, we're going to try and assassinate Horus. That didn't go so well.
It almost
Raven Guard. Raven Guard up with them, and they're like, oh, you guys are pretty knackered. And they're like, you're the Raven Guard. You're telling us we look knackered? You guys are Istvan. So realistically, probably the most losses on the Siege of Terra were incurred by the Imperial Fists, because yes, they had the biggest army to start with before the battle had been joined, but they were there on every single planet in the Sol system. They were on every wall of every part of the palace. They were bleeding heavily to protect the throne world, and they managed to pull it off, those crazy bastards. But to be fair, they had the White Scars on their side, so of course they were going to win.
Yeah, there it is.
The best legend. Had to fit that in somewhere.
This is, also, this
no, you will fall before the might of the Ultramarines one day.
Also, fun fact, in the footage you're seeing as me playing an Imperial Fist, he's carrying a White Scars pattern bolter, because I had to slip it in.
Wow.
Yeah, you know it. But yeah, so Throne World's defended. Imperial Fists survive. What happens from there on? Well, bear in mind, Horus Heresy starts at the very beginning of the 31st millennium. About 1,500 years later, during 544.M32, a bit of a problem happens. It's called the War of the Beast. Now, the War of the Beast is basically, in simple terms, Colin has said in the past, for example, when we've covered the Eldar, when they were in charge, they treated orcs like they were pruning a hedge. Like, you had to make sure you got rid of the branches when they got too long. They're a problem.
Every now and then you got to be like, hey, this is getting a little bit excessive.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Imperium at the beginning of the 31st millennium is really busy doing the scouring, getting rid of the traitors. And so during this time, we have things like, for example, everyone's chasing the enemies to the Eye of Terra. In that time, we do have the Iron Cage, where the greatest grudge match in the universe happens between the Iron Warriors and Imperial Fists, where Dawn, in a rage, goes, I know it's a trap. I'm just going to run in.
I'm angry.
And my dad is on a big chair, and he won't talk to me anymore, said Dawn. And then Perdurabo said, you're cringe. And then Dawn said, I don't talk in internet jargon. And then they headbutted each other. And during that time, the Imperial Fists had heavy losses until, again, the boys in blue pulled them out of the fire. But because of that, and also because of so many other factors of, you know, all the Primarchs are going missing at this point, you know, Leman Russ is off to find the Tree of Life. Jagatai Khan is just charging through the webway to kill the Drukhari. And pretty much, like, Gilliman's wounded. He's now on Ultramar, feeling a bit ill because he's been stabbed by a poisonous blade. All the Primarchs are gone. And because they haven't been keeping an eye on the Orcs, they've managed to make the biggest army that the Imperium has seen since the Ulanor Triumph.
Oops.
And funnily enough, the Orcs are particularly interested in Ulanor, because that's where their species originates from. And they are not happy that it's been in Imperial hands for so long. So out of the chaos, the Imperial Fists are stationed around Terra. And somehow the Orcs fight their way all the way to the throne room, throne world. And it's like, oh gosh, they've got these moon-sized, like, planet killing. They've retrofitted a moon into a bat, like a Death Star. They have several Death Stars and they are green. And this is not good fun. To the point where they send an emissary to the throne room and be like, hey, it's over. Like, we're going to destroy you. Not even like giving terms of surrender, because like, you can't have a good fight if the enemy's not fighting back. But it's just like, hey, by the way, send your best men. We're going to kill you all. We're going to win.
Didn't he? I thought he did offer surrender. I thought he was like, I swear, if I'm imagining this, or this was something I completely like read wrong, do let me know. But what wasn't it? It was like, the beast has you by the guts. Surrender, you get to keep him. Struggle, he'll rip him out. thought he did.
Yeah, I think it was more like surrender, but we're going to kill you anyway. It's like, I always find that it's a bit of a strange thing because like orcs are all about fighting. So the idea that the Imperium would surrender and they'd be like, what are they going to do? Take prisoners? They're just going to kill them anyway.
So the like, orc client.
I think it's more of a, I think it's more like a saving face. Like, hey, it's like a taunt. Like, hey,
yeah. You
could surrender.
I guess, yeah, that's true. You probably don't, you probably also don't bring in like an attack moon if you don't plan on doing it.
Yeah, and you are correct that they do say like surrender, but I always read that more of like it's an option, but like they know they're not going to surrender. Yeah. We know you're not going to surrender. Mm. We're just trolling a little bit, said the orc. Mm. And during this time, fortunately, Vulcan turns up out of nowhere. Like, where have you been? Oh, I was dead, but I got better, said Vulcan. So he's about the Imperial Fist because they are always. The last line of defense for Holy Terror, that's their thing. And this is kind of why in the lore of the current setting, they're kind of stagnant because where are the fists? Somewhere around Terra usually. Because that's their whole deal. They protect the throne work. Like, they are the Praetorians of Terra. Where are they? At home, eating crisps. And so they are there. They are active. Ultramarines, I think, are cut off by warp storm, so like they struggle to get to the throne world. A lot of chapters are in disarray. There's campaigns going on all over the place. And during the time when the legions became chapters, Rogel Dorn looked at the Codex Astartes and went, that's cringe. And so he hated the idea of breaking the legions up because why would you make the army smaller? They're better when they're bigger. Bigger closed fist makes more damage. That was until his own men, he is spitting, but he also had a change of heart when his own men almost started another Horus heresy firing upon suspicious human vessels. And then he kind of saw like, oh, well, if I was in command of every small skirmish, I wouldn't make a mistake, but I can't trust my own men to, I will relent, mm-hmm. Rabute, I will relent. And then as soon as Rabute left the room, he gathered all of his chapter masters and went, guys, I've got an idea. Just in case we ever want to be a legion again, kind of like what the Space Wolves do, but less drunk, we'll have this thing called the Last Wall Protocol, where it's like a rallying call where all the sons of Rogel Dorn, every chapter who is based off the Imperial Fist, will convene and fight as a bespoke legion. So we'll put all of our forces together, and only in the most dire circumstances do we press this emergency, you know, do we break this emergency glass and pull out the Last Wall Protocol. These chapters are the Black Templars, Excoriators, Crimson Fists, Iron Knights, Fists Exemplar, and Soul Drinkers.
Shout out
to the Soul Drinkers. So Throne World is under threat. Emperor could literally be killed by an orc. That would be embarrassing. So the Imperial Fists say, how about we do the Last Wall Protocol thing? And it kind of works. There are other forces present during the War of the Beast. Like, I'm sure there is like a contingent of Ultramarines, like a company, and there's here and there, but like every one of these chapters turns up in force that are descended from the Imperial Fists, and they body some orcs. However, the current Lord Commander is an Imperial Fist captain known as Slaughter by his friends, but he's called Kurland. Kurland's a pretty good strategist. He goes, wow, this beast in charge of the orcs is pretty dangerous. We should go kill him. And so he stages a mission. We're going to go kill the beast. And he does. He finds the throne room. He kills the beast. But he notices that there isn't just like one big chair that the beast sits on. There's several chairs. And to his horror, he realizes, oh no, we killed a beast, but there be more beasts. Then the beasts body him, and he dies as the last remaining Imperial Fist ever. Right. Chapter is extinct. No more fists. They fisted their last orifices. It's over. Big sad. And then the Black Templars became the best chapter, and everyone loved them instead. It was a case of, okay, everyone's dead. Now, at this point, another once Imperial Fist known as Maximus Fane steps into the ring. Now, this guy is a beast. He was a veteran during the Siege of Terra. He was, I believe I have it in my notes here, he was the... I don't have my... He was a captain... Oh, here we go. 22nd captain of the Imperial Fist Legion. Mm. He fought alongside Raudaron during the Siege of Terra. Man's been around for over 1,000 years. Like, people's like, Dante's old. This guy's like 1,500 years old after the siege. This is an old Astartes. He old. He knows what's going on. And at this point, he's the chapter master of the Fist's Exemplar. Fun fact, Fist's Exemplar are the only second founding chapter successor that has no artwork or even a logo. Because of course they don't. Why would they? Not like they're an important chapter or anything. Ha ha ha. Maximus goes, right, we can't just let, like, we'll never hear the end of it. If it's like, wait, the Raven Guard outlasted us and they were at Isfahan and there was barely any of them to begin with and everything's about birds. That would be embarrassing. Right, we need to, like, remake the Imperial Fists. And so they do. He basically goes, okay, we'll win this War of the Beast first. Gets rid of the beasts. Beasts are gone. Yay, we win. And then he's now Lord Commander of the Imperium. And he says, right, we've all bled together. We've all fought together. I'm now going to become the Chapter Master of the Imperial Fists. I'm going to tithe a portion of my Fists Exemplar to rebuild. You guys should also tithe some men as well. And at first they're all like, hey, we've just been like for a massive war. We've barely got anyone left. But then they go, well, look, what's the point of being a successor of a dead chapter? That doesn't make sense. Okay, so Imperial Fists are reconstituted with Black Templars, Soul Drinkers, with Executioners, the boys of Fafniran. And because of this, they go a little bit through a renaissance where some of the guys who are incorporated are great duelists because they are Black Templars. Some are really good at boarding actions because they are Executioners. Some of them are very heroic, like the Crimson Fist guys. And they start to realize, like, oh, this is actually a good thing because we're all Sons of Dawn, but now we've obviously our previous chapter was not up to snuff because it was too predictable. It was too rigid. Now we've got some new ideas that we can put together. And these successor chapters wouldn't have survived if they weren't capable. We will use these to make the Imperial Fists bigger and better than ever before. And that's kind of the last major thing the chapter does, if I'm honest. They are around in the Era Indomitus. They're in the Battlefleet Gothic game. They do stuff, but they are very, like, and we mentioned this a little bit before. The Black Templars and Crimson Fists specifically are way more popular because they are crusading chapters. They go out and proactively do some damage. Imperial Fists don't have that luxury, and unfortunately, they are written extremely inconsistently. I was speaking to friend of Sandman of Terror, Alex, Quipster Nerd. He loathes the Fist of the Imperium book because it's basically, if it's the audiobook version, like 7 hours of the Imperial Fists running into a trap, running into a trap, running into a trap, and going, whoa, we can't come up with new ideas. Oh, I know it's a trap. I know it's a trap, but we've got to do something. And it's like, oh. And a lot of people don't like that book because it's making the Imperial Fists look like chumps. Oops. And these are supposed to be like quite clever space marine, like legendary Alpha Legion.
I feel like if they did, like, if they did something like have them be like more defense in depth, or have them running around desperately trying to protect like all the different sectors, like supposedly the Imperium's on defense at all angles. It's like you'd think someone be, you know, surely the defending chapter would be great for moving around, setting into high value locations.
If the custodians get to run around and do stuff, which makes no sense at all whatsoever, you'd think the Imperial Fist would get to go walk around a little bit.
And to be fair, I haven't really gone in depth with the Captain Lysander stuff because he's a weird character. He is the first captain of the Imperial Fists, but he got lost in the war. So he's just like a really weird, like none of the currently serving Imperial Fists served with Lysander when he was first part of the Legion, because he was gone for hundreds of years. And then he came up, he just turned up and they're like, hey, you're that guy that we know about from the past times. And he's like, hello, I'm back. And some of their like weirder characters, like there's a, oh, sorry.
hey, all you people.
And they're also like, the Death Watch have some cool Imperial Fist characters, but they're stuck in the Death Watch. Like, they have a Dreadnought. I've just done a video on. It's out next week. He was alive during the 34th millennium. He's still kicking as a Dreadnought. But he's basically, his whole thing is he's like a boomer. He's like, Space Marines were better in my day. And he can't really remember what's going on in the current battles he's fighting. He just kind of thinks he's stuck in the 34th millennium and he's a bit senile. There's even a Death Watch comic book series, and the main character is an Imperial Fist guy, but he's stuck in the Death Watch, so doesn't really do much for the Imperial Fists.
You hit a like a level of cool, and then you're like shunted out of the Imperial Fists. Go join the Death Watch. Go somewhere else.
And even like probably the most popular, I would say probably the most well known character is Tor Garadon, who's third captain. He's got the red pauldron trim. He's got like enormous Gravis armor. And he's got like, he looks like Chip Hazard from Toy Soldiers. He's got like the buzz cut. He's pretty cool. He's in the Watchers of the Throne books. He turns up and he's like, hey up, lads. we're going to defend the Imperium. Get rid of these chaos demons. Fantastic.
I feel like I'm remembering something. Also, unlike Hal, sick dodge on that Trigon.
I'm trying my best. But
you dodge it out of the ground and you couldn't even see it. Hal consecutively four times backwards dodge rolled into a charging Thousand Suns Terminator.
Wow.
Yeah. That man must never play a Dark Souls game in his life. anyways, that aside. That was a complete sidetrack of the actual point I wanted to bring up. when Gilliman came back, right, you know, he goes on his merry crusade all the way back to Terra, like before even the Indominus Crusade proper. He's still going back to talk to Dad.
Mm.
He gets to the moon. Magnus is there. Did the Fist even show up? Because all I remember is the Custodes and the Sisters of Silence.
Well, they're there during the Watch in the Throne, which is like afterwards. I think they were off duty somewhere.
A demon Primarch showed up, and they couldn't do the one thing they're supposedly doing.
That's tough. Here is the fundamental issue of the Imperial Fists. They're a fleet-based chapter, but they're not on a crusade footing. They have to always be revolving around the phalanx, because if they lose the phalanx, that's like the coolest thing about their like army gone. And they know that they can't lose the phalanx. The phalanx has been through hell. It's been retrofit. It's been repaired thanks to the vaults of the custodians bringing some eldritch thing out of there to get it restocked and supplied and repaired somehow. But wherever the phalanx is, that's where the fists are. And with, like, for example, Fist of the Imperium, again, it's a librarian who's taken out the 36th millennium, put into deep freeze by Call, made into a Primaris. He's sent to like a planet infested with gene stealers, but it's just some planet. It's not super compelling as like something you'd want a primogenitor chapter to do, because it's just some world, and it's like the fifth company, and it's not even the full fifth company. It's just like a bunch of the fifth company. The only character who's got like art is the main character who's on the cover. And so it's like, okay, there's like, why aren't we putting more stuff in for like Lysander's been in a lot of those Space Marine battles books where it's like the Hell's Reach era. Tor Garadon, he's in stuff, but always as a support character. And here's a problem. Chapter masters, right? Right? Salamanders have a chapter master called Tushan. He's cool. He has one piece of art and he doesn't have a mini, but at least he's got a picture. Kayvon Shrike got demoted this last week from chapter master back to a captain because they've got a new model of Avon Shan. Okay, fair enough. But at least he's got a mini. And Kayvon has been in books before. He was in Apocalypse and some other stuff. He was in the Uriel Ventress books too. Imperial Fists, there was a voice crack there. Imperial Fists have lost three chapter masters in recent years. Three of them. To the point where I for a long time thought Vladimir Pugh was still active, but he's now dead. He got killed by Tyranids during the Battle of Drashan. He was crazy. He carved the names of his dead kindred into his skin. And also he cut out his taste buds because he was like, I lost 170 men during one battle and the Emperor can't apparently smell or touch or like taste anything. So I'm going to, as an act of penance, not enjoy food anymore because taste buds. Okay. Weirdo. then you had Vaughn Hagen. And I thought Vaughn Hagen was still. I thought Vaughn Hagen was still alive. No, he died during the invasion, the second invasion of Terror, just after Watch of the Throne. So he's dead too. Guy in charge is now called Gregor Dessian. His Wikipedia's like this big because he's not been in anything. There's a problem with a lot of these some of these primogenitors have chapter masters. Some of them have like Cardan Stronus isn't technically a chapter master, but at least he's got some books. He's got two books and he's got some short stories. He doesn't have a mini, but he's got some art. Jabal Khan II was badly injured by the Red Corsairs, but he's still nominally in charge. You've got Dante, you've got Marnius Khalgar, you've got Azrael, etc. Yeah. Why don't we have a chapter master of the Imperial Fists that isn't dead or hasn't been dead for a long time? Like Maximus Vane died in lore 7,000 years ago or 6,000 years ago. He's been gone a while and he's cool. And he has like a really cool, he's got that pose where he's there going with his fist in the air, because of course he does. But the fact that we have Pedro Cantor and we have High Marshal Helbrecht, we need an Imperial Fist chapter master. We got one for the, and this is why I was a bit disappointed with, we've got a new Lysander mini. It's like, cool, Lysander's cool, but we already had a mini for him. Mm-hmm. Can we not have, something for the, and we talk about, missing parts of, the lore. I wish they'd have, a book of the Imperial Fists that gives you, here is the chapter master. And you could even have a plot line where it's like, we've lost a lot of chapter masters in recent years. I don't know if I'm up to the task. We had guys like Maximus Vane in charge, and we've had all these great heroes of the chapter. Am I up to snuff? Mm-hmm. That could be a really compelling and interesting book. But they're not, and it's not an obscure chapter. They could do it, and that would be fun. But they're no, Imperial Fist fans, nah, screw you, no book for you, which is a shame.
It's very sad.
Yeah. Also, it doesn't help that their war cry is Primarch Primogenitor to your glory and the glory of him on Earth.
Yeah,
that's too long.
They got one of those way too, half of all quote-unquote battle cries in 40K are just straight-up sentences. Mm-hmm. That one's an entire thesis statement. you got to tone that back a bit.
Yeah.
There's a reason for the Emperor catches on so well. It's point, snappy, it's punchy.
Makes sense.
And to be fair, there are some interesting little tidbits about their lore. They recruit from not just the Throne World, but also Harnish and Necromunda. Their whole thing is you could be a bit of hive scum, or you could be the son of a king. We don't care. If you're good at what you do, we're all equals. And that's quite a nice thing for them to have. They are, of course, experts of siege warfare. The difference between them and the Iron Warriors, because they're kind of mirror images of each other, Iron Warriors are more heavily armored. They're more drudging forward. They're more we'll make the armor so dense the bullets ping off us.
They made the Imperial Fists for a reason.
Yeah, and they're I made this panoply with a bunch of scraps in a cave. So that's the Iron Warriors. But then, Imperial Fists are Tony Stark when he's not in a cave and he's got all the best toys and his dad is, the favorite, one of the favorite sons of the Emperor. They get so much good stuff from Earth. They get so much good stuff.
Also, I'm just going to say it. The Fists do their duty because it's their duty. They're not looking for more. They're perfectly content. Someone was like, look, if the Emperor walked up to them and said, you are for the rest of the Great Crusade, you are only washing windows, they would calmly nod and then go to it. Because they're this is what Big E needs. So that's what I'm going to do.
Yep.
Which, that level of humility, I think a whole lot of legions, not just the Iron Warriors, could certainly use a little bit of that.
Although, to be fair, and this is the only time I'll be fair to the Iron Warriors, they were why is it, though, that every campaign we do, all the auxiliaries are getting trench foot and it smells and it's horrible and I hate it? Can't we just get a nice mission once every 10? It's like, no, no, you just get dreadful mission after dreadful mission forever. I see.
Now, that would, in a vacuum, be a valid complaint if they once ever requested a different war zone.
You don't get what you don't ask for, said Colin.
Look, it's like, I'm not saying they weren't dealt a shit hand. You know, I do like the Iron Warriors Legion, that their dad can go pound sand for the rest of time. But I like the Legion. The problem is, just ask. that's not committing like a Lost Legion level offense. The worst he can say is no.
And to be fair,
with that, all of your bitterness would be justified, but you never once said, hey, can I try something different, please?
And to be fair, it's like, they did have like some pretty badass, again, like retroactively, they've been given some cool moments. Like they were sent to destroy Cophonia. That was kind of cool in recent lore. But again, it's an addition to the Horus Heresy era. They went to destroy the homeworld of Forest Lupercal. They sent the 9th and 14th battalions, and they fought alongside the Space Wolves 13th Great Company. Nothing can go wrong with those guys. And they were just like, hey, we need a symbolic victory against the traitors. If we kill the planet where the ringleader of the traitors is from, that should stop them from doing any more uprisings for a while. That's a good gesture of like, they just went and nuked every planet that the traitor Primarchs came from for good measure. But with help from the Dark Angels fleet of Marduk Sedras, they then vortex bombed the hell out of the planet. And vortex bombs, it's not like, oh, we're just going to burn it, set it on fire. It's like, we are going to rend this planet into itty-bitty bits so there's nothing left apart from debris. That's what Cophonia is like now. Yeah. It's kind of like when I got Darktide recently and I was making the character, and you go to Cadia as like the background, it's just like rubble. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, it's like,
too soon. And yeah, they also like, they practice scrimshoring, where they basically take the bones of the dead and they kind of etch like names and patterns and stuff, and they're kind of weirdos. They like, they're very into hurting themselves. They love a bit of self-flagellation. They're like the pain glove. In case you don't know and you're listening to this, it's not a glove, it's a bodysuit. This thing is designed, and Rogel Dorn used it a lot. It's like, I'm going to meditate. Oh, with like chakras and like crystals. No, I'm going to put this thing on that just sets every part of my nerve endings into just numbing pain so I can focus. You know, all right, mate. I don't want to yuck your yum, but it's a bit weird to me.
Who am I to judge? Who am I to correct a Primarch? But have you tried yoga?
I'm not here to kink shame a Primarch, but geez, what's going on, Rogel? Would have thought of anyone else, but Kurz, but you? Interesting. And so, like, yeah, they're all about, like, even in Fist of the Imperium, it's just like every time they get set into another ambush by the Gene Stealers, it's like, I'm going to have such a long session in the pain glove when I get back to the ship. Yes, you are. And yeah, they're very stoic. They're very determined. Stone face, like the stone men that Garrow called them. Other than that, there's not all that much more other than like I could briefly talk about some cool characters. But again, a lot of these are from the Horus Heresy setting. So you've got Sigismund, the Sigismund, the greatest space marine of them all. Like that's Sigismund. He's just like the best fighter that the space marines ever had. And he's a fan favorite. He's really good at fighting. He's not great at naval warfare, even though that's like a thing that the Imperial Fists are known for. Alexis Pollux, chapter master of the Crimson Fists, so savant at naval warfare, beat Perturabo because it wasn't like, I don't care how big your hammer is, this is space warfare. Like, smash that hammer of Olympia.
And Perturabo still did not learn this lesson when he landed on Talarn.
Nope. Fafnir Ran is cool. He's the Seneschal of Dawn. He's from Inwit. He runs around with two axes and chops up anything in his way. He's great. He's got a big cheeky grin on all of his artworks where he's fighting. He's like, I love fighting with axes. And he went on to become the first chapter master of the Executioners, which are a fun chapter.
Never forgive what they did to the Astral Claws. Never forgive. Traitors.
To be fair, it was a good judgment for the Executioners to be like, I don't know, like the comic Knuckles meme when they're like, as more and more chapters turn up to the Badab War, And then they have a moment of clarity and go, are we the baddies, but for real this time? Yeah, you are the baddiest baddies.
Gosh darn traitors.
What did the Astro Claws do wrong? They didn't want to pay taxes to the worst government in history.
That's right. That's right.
How dare they?
It was completely and, peaceful look, and justified uprising.
Well, I'm going to say it again. You know, they had it right in 1776. No taxation without representation.
All I'm saying is I'm not a space marine. I'm not a general. I don't know how to fight a war. Trying to destroy the Maelstrom with, like, the biggest crusade ever? Huron, that's mental.
That was a little bit goofy.
I don't know, Huron. That's not a good idea, not to pay taxes.
He's the guy.
Like, I'm just going to destroy everything in the Maelstrom. Like, the Maelstrom's a big place, dude, and there's, like, demons in there. I don't know.
The representation part, though, he was a real one for that. The crusading into hell bit was, you know, maybe someone should have pulled him back on that one.
Sorry if you've heard explosions. There is Oasis are playing tonight, so I'm sorry if you can hear that.
Eli, are we frequently arguing on stream? Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw the W of a Discord message that we just got.
Are we doing that frequently?
I don't think so.
Also, I would just like to say you have a Vegeta profile picture, so I'm winning in the end.
You won the Discord. Oh, yeah. Join it out.
Oh, I see. Eli always wins, does he now?
Why is there a Hal sticker on there?
Because I like the Hal sticker.
I do like that Hal sticker.
But otherwise, and we mentioned Corland, we mentioned Maximus Fane. Don't read Fist of the Imperium unless you like Gene Stealer's winning. That's why I've told Eli to win it. To read it.
Completely accurate.
Also, that book has a this is very in character with the Imperial Fist. They have like a company veteran guy gets buried, but like in an explosion, survives. Then their base of operations gets invaded, murks every single Gene Stealer that tries to kill him, grievously wounded. End of the book. Put in a dreadnought. That's the kind of guys the Imperial Fists are. They're like, I don't care how many limbs I lose. He's the Black Knight from Monty Python. It's just like, it's just a flesh wound. Like, that's Imperial Fist down to a T. They're never giving up. They're always, like, bitterly pushing and struggling on, never relenting a single, like the last wall in Siege of Terror, you know, not one backward step, which their commander, what was his name? Captain something.
Just call him Rogel Thorn. Who cares?
The naming structure. He's got I think a Latino inspired name. But Imperial Fists are weird. They've got like a lot of Russian names. Like you got Gregor. You've got what's his name? You've got. This Dreadnought character I did a while ago. He was something socks. Check. It's like that's very sound Russian sounding, I think. Also, I've just realized that the gameplay is almost over, so I'm going to give you some more gameplay, but this time as the chapter that people like to see, which is the Black Templars. Sorry, folks, we're getting some Black Templars footage. Oh no, we're not. Oh, technical issues. Oh no. Don't look at me. While I sort this out, we could do some donations because I think, to be honest, other than that. There's not much else to cover. It's Imperial Fists, isn't it?
I have a call out to make.
Oh.
Eli is secretly the biggest Imperial Fist fan. And as my evidence, 4 out of 5 times we play Survival and Dawn of War modded, it crashes. But 1 out of 5 times it doesn't crash. I blink, the game starts. I blink a second time. Eli has 5 million turrets already set up. Like the game,
I love turrets.
The game's been going for 2 minutes. How did you get the resources?
And let's never forget that Dawn of War game that I was witness to, where you just had that one turret that was just there, and you're like, how do I break the invisibility?
The siege of the Listening Post will be avenged by the single Tau Pathfinder team or whatever it was.
Gaming on war crimes.
We need another inevitable victory.
Truly.
Well, seeing as I've been yapping a while and Colin did the last bout of donations, so you want to read these ones out, Eli?
Yes. Carson C., thank you for the $10. Glad to catch you guys live again. Best Warhammer podcast there is. Thank you.
Thank you.
By the way, who do you guys think could build a better society on their own? Ultramarines or Imperial Fist? Still Ultramarines. Because you don't want the guy being in charge of your society also being the Pain Glove guy. I think it's a...
I think, you know, my housing would probably never collapse in 1,000 years if Dorne was building it. That's it.
Yeah. But occasionally, if there was a bit wearing away, you'd see like one of the bones of the guy, like, because they literally put themselves in the the foundations of Unification War fortresses, literally. And to be fair, the Ultramarines were also one of the only legions saying, like, after the war's over, like, what are we going to do? And it's like, I'm going to be a politician. Like, oh, good for you, mate. Good for you. Imperial Fist, they're on standby mode. They're like waiting for a mission. Tell me what to do. Tell me what to do, Daddy, said the Imperial.
To give them credit, home invasions would drop to like -20% if they were in charge.
Yeah.
Anger Among Us, thank you for the 5. Andy, do you know why the Minotaurs helped the Crimson Fists on Rin's world? I'm trying to figure out why they would do that for another chapter.
They were part of relief efforts. So there were a few chapters that Rin's world was really unfortunate because... They accidentally blew up their own fortress monastery because of a tech issue. They weren't rubbing enough unguents on their machine spirits components. So they blew themselves up and lost pretty much all their men and knew they couldn't win on their own. So they had to wait for other, and the Imperial Fist turned up as well and were like, oh, brothers, oh, this is a bit of a shit show. Sorry about your chapter.
Was it like the most unfortunate series of like horrid tech issues all cascading at the worst possible time? Missile fired wrong, shields worn up at the worst possible time, perfectly hit like the ammo depot or something like that.
It inverts, burrows into the deck, and then ignites all their ammunition stores. And like, here's a fun tidbit about the Crimson Fists. Did you know they have, you know, the Black Templars have the Emperor's Champion with like their own panoplies? Crimson Fists had that.
Had that.
Don't have it anymore.
I'm
guess what was in the armory?
I'm picturing like the guy who's launching that missile. Like, did either of you watch Chernobyl?
Mm-mm. Oh yes, yeah, great show.
Do you know that scene where like the rods are bouncing up and down? And it's the one guy like staring. Yeah, and then he like takes off running. I'm imagining that like he's watching the missile go deeper and deeper until he like runs like, oh shit.
Akimov saying like, there's nothing, you didn't see graphite on the ground on Rin's world, just like, because it didn't happen. Then he looks up and there's just like a big hole in the fortress monastery.
Show us the root gins, Pedro.
So that was just all it was. Again, it was like Valiant chapter, they are good. High Lords of Terror go, ooh, should send some chapters to help. Okay, Minotaurs, go and help. Yes, sir. So
Donkey Man USA, thank you for the 5. I will never forgive GW for killing off Arthusa Nerek. I am so mad. I wanted him to rock up and kick the shiz out of Lorgar in 40K.
Yeah. Era of Ruin came out a while back. Barthusa Nerek was in Siege of Terror for like one paragraph where he's sniping. He's having a good time. And then just Erebus kills him. Like, oh, great.
Classic.
That it? Yeah. Erebus getting 2-for-1 at the Siege of Terror. First Loken, now Barthusa. Not fair.
That's why he's the GOAT. Dank Apostle, thank you for the 14. Czar, in 40K, who is similar to Black Adder and Baldrick?
Caiaphas Kane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Baldrick is literally Jurgen. Yeah. So. Although it would be amusing hearing someone read out the audiobooks in Black Adder, Rowan Atkinson's voice, like, come, Jurgen, we're off to kill some Tau. Okay, so
him and I'm gonna, I don't remember his name, Dr. House.
Oh, Hugh Laurie.
Hugh Laurie, thank you.
Yeah. Is it lupus?
Colin wore somewhat green hat last week. Thank you for the 2. According to YouTube, I'm your top fan. Hooray, I guess.
Thank you.
Nice. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. On the scoreboard. Hardik, thank you for the 5. Imperial Fists suffer the rare genetic defect of Primarchus More Interestingus, where surprisingly, it's far more interesting to learn about their dad. Yeah.
Well, that's the curse of all legions, isn't it? Legions turn chapters. It's like, you got a Primarch. I want to learn about him. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you want to learn about Kayvon Shrike? No. Okay, demote him.
He's probably not also why their successor chapters are allowed to have more flavor, because they have the easiest way to get, because, like, you know, the parent chapter that was the Legion is supposed to be like the epitome, right? So the successor chapters are allowed to get away from that, and it's the easiest to do at the fit with the fists, because it's like, how do we make them get away from their parent chapter? They don't defend.
Yeah,
it's a very simple narrative foil.
Mm-hmm.
Opposite.
Glass Laughter, thank you for the 5. Andy, please give me a good 40k books to read. No Horus Heresy, I beg you. Colin, please read for dramatic effect. Oh, sorry.
You should have put that one at the end. Andy, give me good 40k books to read, please. I beg you. No Horus Heresy.
Okay. Well, I would say Watchers of the Throne is good. It's got some Imperial Fists in it. So that's good. It's a two-parter, so it's not a trilogy. You'll get a good hefty amount from that. What else? I really enjoyed Sons of the Hydra. That one snuck up on me. I was like, I read it as just like, oh, it's another book to research. I read that and I actually really enjoyed it, because it was Alpha Legion being very sneaky. There were some great plot twists here and there, and it had a mentor, Chaos Tech Marine, in it. So I was like, brilliant. And yeah, so I enjoyed that one. Also, there's a mentor Death Watch member in Fist of the Imperium, and he's in one sentence. I was like, oh, he's gone. That's a shame.
The Dank Bustle, thank you for the 14 czar. Best Iron Warrior book, The Siege of Castellix.
Also, the Honsu Omnibus is quite good. I recently did a video on Honsu, and I listened to Storm of Iron, and then I got the Omnibus to get the short stories read, because you can't get the audiobooks. And there is also, I found something weird from my buddy Zenon. Did you know that Honsu actually met Perturabo, and they had a game of, what's it called? Regicide.
Yeah.
But here's the fun part. It's a short story that you can only get with the special edition re-release of Storm of Iron. And that's extremely expensive, and there's no other way to get a digital or audio copy. So have fun with that. Brilliant.
Thanos. He's pretty much only Skarsnik, aka Skarsnik's top guy. Thank you for the 50. Writing lore for a TTRPG setting right now, but everything just turns into Warhammer Fantasy. Am I cooked? No, because Warhammer Fantasy is goated. So you're
it's good.
Good. Yeah, no, that's good. Also turn it into Lord of the Rings. That's another good way. I need Eli. I was looking at Lord of the Rings minis last night. I'm Mordor must rise. I must buy Sauron and the Ring Wraiths.
Very good. Perfect, yeah. Even.
Also, speaking of Warhammer Fantasy, Colin, are you going to be buying is it £180 foam Galmaraz from Warhammer Armory?
I'm looking at it.
Or $180. So it's cheaper. It's cheaper. It's $180. That's cheaper than pounds.
Like this. Big hammer. Big hammer.
But I'd love to get
Warhammer.
And I'd like to put, you know, like when get those hammers that make a squeaky noise, and I'd like get that fitted so every time you hit someone, hey, just go. That'd be good fun. I hope you guys, do you got any more closing thoughts on the Imperial Fists, fellas, or
no, my closing thought was, now that you brought up the Warhammer Armory, but that's not related.
That's why the clicking I'm just hearing in the background is open tab.
It was, but then they saved it because their Reichland outfit is coming this summer, supposedly. So I would say they got fucking nulled. Piss off. Arrogant gunnery snobs.
You can pre-order an extremely long flamberge and be like, hello, fellas.
The funny.
And there's armor on the way, apparently. So, like, everyone's just holding out for the armor.
Dude, they make the big man's armor himself, and moving's just got to get put off for another few months. I mean, it's easy.
We got two more donos before we move to the end.
Did you want to say what you thought about the Imperial Fist before we read the donos?
I think about them right now, I guess.
Jesus. You know what? I like them. I like that they're just
fine.
Sure, they're not the most interesting, but they're like steadfast, they're reliable. You send them in, they will get the job done. No complaints, no nothing, no nonsense. Not every when you know, fuck it. I'll quote Incredibles. When everyone's super, no one will be. When every legion is, look at our deep, tragic gene seed flaw and our past. And then it's like, all right, so you're not interesting. It's you and then everyone around you. Someone needs to be the default.
Yeah, it's true.
To like make everything else interesting.
Space Marines in general, after you read enough books, they're not. They're just it gets harder and harder to read Space Marine books, especially in 40K. Horus Heresy, I can give a pass, I guess, but like they're so similar. They're such flat characters generally. They're just Space Marines doing Space Marine things. The entire the entire cool thing about a Space Marine chapter is their paint scheme and their tactics, and it really rarely goes much deeper than that, unfortunately.
I like reading Space Marine
books. I know you do, Andy.
couple more donos before question of the week. Colin wore a somewhat green hat last week. If you're all stuck in an arena and told inside one of you there's a new book of your favorite author hidden, who would gut who first? Wow.
I don't think I'd kill people for a book.
I mean, to be fair though, the trouble with that question is our favorite authors have written books we enjoy, so it's like I'm okay with the ones we got. If it was like your favorite author gets to correct a certain faction, like
I might be killing Call of Good Tau Lore.
Now I was gonna say, now if one of you has like a Reach level Halo game locked away inside of you, I'm the Red Mist is descending. I'm sorry.
Remember Cadia. Wow. That'd be an interesting one.
Darth Sasquatch. You read it, Andy. I gotta do question of the week after this.
Oh, okay. If you all had to serve a Chaos God, who would you pick? Who would you hate to serve the most? I wouldn't want to be a Nurgle demon.
No.
Smelly.
Slaanesh. My order goes Slaanesh, then Khorne, then Nurgle and Zeech, depending on my mood, are fighting for last place. Because Nurgle, like, look, call me vain. I don't want to look and smell like that. That displeases me. And Zeench, there's way too much going on, man. I'm not cut out for that.
Yeah. I'd probably pick Khorne, then Slaanesh, then Zeench, then Nurgle, because it's like, at least with Khorne, I know I'll be content when I'm butchering people, and that's at least a reprieve. Mm-hmm. I don't have to smell bad. I don't have to do any stuff I don't want to do, if you know what I mean, with Slaanesh. And I don't also have to be like working for Zeench, just like having that boss who can never make his mind up on a project, is always messing with his employees. Like, go away. You're just annoying me. I don't like that.
Also, like all Chaos Gods, even Nurgle, the quote unquote big happy family, they're all incredibly treacherous and backstabby.
Yeah.
But like Khorne's
the best one, I think.
Apart from Khorne, but
Khorne will just tell you at the end, like, I'm gonna kill you on this day.
There's still gonna be infighting, but like, you know, it's at least gonna be like, hey, I'm gonna kill you now. Unless you're Khorne the Betrayer, and then he just kind of swings at random. But you know you're getting with him, you know what you're getting into when someone called Khorne the Betrayer is standing next to you in the battle line.
But Khorne gets the buff where it's like ranged weapons don't work on you. He's like, you're my best boy. Here's a special power. Like, wow, thanks, Dad.
But like,
amazing.
With Zeench, like, it's the only Chaos God where the treachery, like, isn't even serving anything. It just happens. Like, at least even with, like, Slaanesh, it at least hits the bare minimum bar of, I felt like it.
Mm-hmm.
Zeench doesn't even have that. There's 50 different layers of plans. None of them work together. All of them pile up at the end. And then a thousand sun sorcerer goes, just as planned. And I'm like, all right, you should die.
Or a specific Thousand Sun Sorcerer in a recent book goes, don't worry about the last book. It's been, I've retconned it in my own series. Like, oh, thanks. You did a Mario 2 on me. How dare you? It was all a dream. Seems bad. Colin, who would be the 40K version of Fanquil from the Dark?
I don't know if there's anyone quite like Fanquil in 40K. That's
some of goofy characters in 40K.
I like
Aramon's probably the closest, right?
That is I don't know who that compares that is more offensive towards.
I mean, it's not a perfect match. What about Crypman? Like, I've got an idea. Yeah, how about we just put the orcs and the Tyranids in one system and we'll see who wins? Oh, that was a bad idea. Whoops.
I want to say Crypman, but it's like he's not really he's not tripping up higher in the hierarchy, right? Yeah,
yeah. He achieves things.
He achieves things, but like he's technically not an Inquisitor.
Not anymore.
They kicked him out. It doesn't mean anything because 40K is 40K. Anyone who has the news, who like is delivering the news, has to wait 10 bajillion years for the paperwork to be sorted and the choir to stop screaming. Mm-hmm. So functionally, he's still an Inquisitor. It doesn't matter. Mm. Thankful, meanwhile, he doesn't win.
Uh-huh.
But he keeps tripping upwards.
He'd be Falakim Malakim Foros from the Lamentus chapter.
He drowned Skaven Blight, and I don't think it did anything to him.
And our last one here, Colin from Benadryl. For every day you delay the fan call video is a day that I will break into your house and sneak in two rats inside your closet.
Well, I have bad news for you. Rats are social little animals, and they are much friendlier than the Skaven are. So you know what? I will have little rat buddies. Also,
you can make them laugh with a toothbrush.
Yeah. Yes. You should also give, you should sneak in at least one hamster, because I want to see how mine would kick the bucket, because it's never in a normal way.
All right.
Also, Eli, we've got question of the week. What was the last question of the week?
I believe it was something along the lines of, who would be your ever chosen if you could insert any character? So I got a few here.
Yes.
First one from Imperial Saint von Karstein, #, ever chosen. For the most honored role of ever chosen, I have picked Plankton and make Mr. Krabs as the Emperor. In all potential quests to destroy the world would inevitably fail with Plankton ranting about the secret formula of warp rips. That's a goated answer.
Nice.
Rarus Pepe, 3815. Caliborn. Caliborn. I don't know how to say it. Sorry. This is slash Lord English, and in brackets, another reference for Colin to explain. Can you explain?
Give me a minute. I'm gonna look up Lord English and see if it. I don't know anything about Homestuck.
Well, sorry, Rarus Pepe.
I'm
sorry. Over.
You admit to liking Undertale, and everyone assumes you like every whatever slop internet Tumblr fandom there is. I like the funny game with the skeleton. I don't like all the internet crap that came out before it.
That's pretty real. All right. Sorry, Rhys Pepe. Mike loves Magnus Must Glaze Andy. A schizo comment, probably. Thank you, Mike. I think the perfect ever chosen would be Hal. And no, this does not break the rules because is real life not a setting, I suppose? And Hal would be the perfect ever chosen. He has the slam poetry Innsmouth Riz to inspire loyalty in his men. He has the strength to say something so out of pocket he could stun any and all enemies and then stab them with a poop knife or hit them with his slam poetry scroll. And I've seen Hal skip across towns in the blink of an eye like an adult toddler, just so he can get his package of classist books, meth, and a bottle of hand lotion. With all that, I reckon he'd be a great ever chosen. Mandatory Bretonnia reference. Thank you, Mike. Always a pleasure.
Amazing.
Rip out. We miss him.
Have we got any more comments?
Yeah, I got three. I got three more.
Okay.
Colin will wear a green hat. Now he has. Thank you. I would choose Colin and see how long he makes it in a fantasy setting without an insulin pump.
Thank you. All right. Now, this is joked with friends before. It's like, you ever get bored and like just make like a zombie survival plan? Because I'm going to be honest. When I was at my working at the church as a janitor, you can only clean the pews so many times before it's not helping. I had to do something to keep myself not insane. My zombie survival plan is find a nice little house, gather all the insulin I can, and when it runs out, blow my head smooth off. Because I can tell you exactly how long it'll take me to start feeling adverse effects from insulin. About 8 hours.
And probably die a very unpleasant death.
Yeah, it would be about 3 days to a week of a slow, agonizing death of constant vomit and sickness.
Yeah.
And zombies. Not making it help anything.
If they're runners, like, look, if it's The Walking Dead, I get the whole plan. If I see a dying light volatile run past my window, I'm out. I'm tapping out.
The minute you see that bit where they learn how to climb and hold rocks 10 seasons in, then you go, no.
And that's fine because they're still slow. But if it's like 28 days, no, thank you.
It was Left 4 Dead's. Fellas jumping off rooftops like, oh no, is that a witch? I'm out. Oh no.
All right. We got Witch Lich. Speaking of which, imagine if Emperor Palpatine was ever chosen. He's already one of the most powerful force users in the galaxy. I can only imagine where he'd go with the blessings of all four chaos gods. If he was ever chosen, chaos wouldn't even have to invade the Empire because he'd just weasel his way into the highest position of power and start a Clone Wars fantasy edition. Yeah, I like it.
Do it.
And lastly,
still get bodied by Grievous.
Grievous is real. Justice for Grievous. Pro Waffle. I'd choose Megatron, but the G1 Megatron to be the 40K mustache twirling villain of the week, or maybe Team Rocket. You're goaded for those answers. Thank you.
Amazing.
Go ahead.
Go for it, Cole.
Every Chaos Lord would only be improved by having a Starscream right below them.
It's so weird.
But I don't just mean a treacherous underling. I mean, it is clearly just Starscream.
I have a mandatory, very unfunny and puerile new question of the week. The new question of the week is #fisted. Who in the setting, fantasy or 40K, deserves a fisting? And I will leave it up to your interpretation as to what that means.
This would not get past Hal. Hal would have vetoed this, by the way.
Free reign, brothers. bonus points if you don't just say Manfred or Erebus.
Yeah, real. True. Very real.
Because everyone's going to say Erebus.
Those are not incorrect answers. No one's going to disagree. But, you know, sometimes you got to bring new life into it.
You got to pick new targets for new memes to blossom. vote. That was the Imperial Fist. What was your vote? Sorry.
My vote is, I think Fabius Bile could use a good, like, deck in the jaw.
Yeah, he deserves it.
Like, he both deserves it, and I think, you know, it'll knock some sense into him. Mm-hmm. Not intelligence. I'm not saying he's quite smart, obviously, but, like, you ever meet someone who is, like, book smart? They're a genius, but if you left them on the corner of a street, they would probably just die.
Yep.
I feel like he's the version of that.
Only thing is, he has multiple clones of himself. Fabius, the kind of guy who would go, well, that sucks for that clone of me, but I'm still alive and I'm the real clone. And then all the other clones are like, no, I'm the real clone. Like, oh, he's that guy. He'll get away with murder. He's gotten away with murder. He's gotten away with worse.
Yeah, he most certainly has.
He's dreadful.
God damn it. This is why he needs to be punched in the face.
We need to fist them simultaneously.
He's not going to learn unless every single one of these clones just get Karn.
Bro, in the Rathan book, he gets chucked off of a massive tower and gets eaten by Tyranids that he's been torturing the one with the big brain in his like tower, and then the Rathan and his mates who he frees. They just like go, oh no, it's in pain and it's playing end me. So they end it. And then his harebrained scheme to be like, if I keep it imprisoned in my tower, the Tyranids will protect me from invaders because they won't attack the tower. They'll just eat everything outside and each other. And then it's like an off switch. And then they start going up the tower and then Rathan chucks him over the edge and he gets eaten. And then it like at the end of the book, it's like, and then Fabius was somewhere else and didn't give two shit. Like, wow. Silly guy.
This is going to be an angry. The Big E could probably have also used one or two smacks upside the head for some of his ideas.
Certainly.
The problem is there was no one in the galaxy strong enough to do it.
And one last donation from Bean.
Archaon has fallen. That makes me the new Ever Chosen.
Glorious.
Amazing. But yeah, that was the Imperial Fist. Hope you all enjoyed it. Not sure what we're going to talk about next, but we will be away next week because me and Colin are away. But we have got something lined up, so don't fret. There is an episode next week, and I think you guys will enjoy it.
Maybe I can help the daughter.
Maybe a gaming stream if you want. Up to you.
We can't stop you.
I can't. No, I'll be away. But either way, thank you all for joining us tonight.
Thank you very much. And
have a good one. Bye, everybody.
Bye. I love you.